chapter 27. We are going to start the chapter. This is Job's first closing address. Because leave it to Job to have two. Now, I feel a little bit bad about starting this chapter and then we're going to be off for 2 weeks, but it's okay, it'll work. We'll do the summaries, not to worry. Okay. So chapter 27 is part of chapters 27 and 28. 27 is the same chapter within this speech. There's the same chapter, which is chapter 27, and then there's chapter 28, which sounds like it belongs in a different book. And one of our jobs when we get to it is to figure out what it's doing here. Chapter 28 will be very at home in the book of Mishlei, the book of Proverbs. It's about wisdom and where wisdom lies and how hard it is to find wisdom and comparing wisdom to precious minerals and metals. And it has nothing to do with anything, so we think. And so we have to figure out what that's doing here. That'll be after the break. That's your cliffhanger for the mid-season finale. But chapter 27 is more in line with what we've been saying. Essentially, the theme of chapter 27 is the people who disagree with me being Job, and who seek to flatter God, are not going to prosper. God is going to punish those who flatter him with lies, which is a theme we've seen from Job before. That's not new ground. And Job says, so I am not about to flatter God. God isn't going to be happy with those who, with those who do this. So he starts with sentence one, and this is the sentence one that doesn't fit. Meaning we've had so many sentence ones at the start of speeches that go with the same form. Vayan so-and-so vayomar. Right? And this one declared and said. This one being whoever it was. Eliphaz ha-Temani, Bildad ha-Shuchit, Zophar ha-Naamati, Eo, whoever it was. And so-and-so declared and said. Here, it begins, Vayosef Iyov se'et mishalo vayomar. And Job, Yosef, continued, like lohosif, right? Musaf. Job continued, well, musaf really means in addition, something you add, so it's not quite the same. Se'et mishalo, raising up his mashal. Mashal does not mean parable. Mashal does not mean story of the fox and the water or whatever else. A mashal is a lesson. It's an educational lesson. Sometimes it's a parable. Sometimes it's a nevuah. Sometimes it's a prophecy. Bilam, if you remember Bilam who came to curse the Jews, each time he offers a prophecy, it says, well, not each one, but it says, Vayisa mishalo, vayomar. He raised up his mashal, his lesson that he was going to proclaim. So to hear, se'et mishalo, he raised his lesson. Rashi says here, and other commentators say it as well, that Job is simply continuing because the others seem to have run out of responses.
Are you still responding?
So this is really... Right, so it's not really a response to Bildad. It's... It's sort of...
The 27 is no longer a response.
Right, so what...
Well, why is it a call to
So what he's going to say here is going to include two components. What you're going to see in 26 is more of a response that is global, not to Bildad in the most recent speech, but a response to them as a group. But what he's going to do in the next chapter, after 27, when he gets 28, is something that really seems completely divorced from the entire discussion.
So maybe they may not even be there when you're doing this.
Oh, they're still here. They're still in the room. Yes, because they're going
to
be here after this chapter. So we're assuming they stayed in the room. They just have nothing else to say at this point, and you know they're drinking water. You'll see. 27 is a global answer, although really it doesn't need them to be there, but they are. And 28 is where he's going to move on. So he begins with sentence two, which is so remarkable. I wish I'd remembered to print out the sheets, but at least I emailed them, so those who printed it off of the email have it. You'll see what I mean in a second. But he begins with heavy linguistic sabotage, use of language which should mean one thing, but as he uses it, it means something else. You'll see what I mean. Sentences 2 and 3. Chai Kel, by the life of God, Hesir Mishpati, who warped my judgment. Right? Who usually swears by God? I don't mean a name of a person, but who? What type of person swears by God?
Believers.
Believers, right? Not someone whose next words would be, the God who warps my judgment. He swears by God who has warped his judgment. Vishakai Hemar Nafshi, the God who has made my life bitter. Kichol od nishmasi vi, v'ruach eloka be'api. As long as my soul is with me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. So at once he expresses bitterness to God, even as he credits God for his very life. I only live because God breathed into my nostrils. But that's not going to stop me from offering my criticism. Yes, Ojeva.
Can he fear me to remove?
Yes. But not to remove as in to remove the punishment from him.
Why could that not?
Because it wouldn't fit at all, no? I mean, yes, it's a legitimate dictionary translation of the words, but Job doesn't believe that he has stopped suffering. He's going to make that clear in this chapter again.
Could it be a request, though? Please, God, remove my
suffering. Then hasir wouldn't be the form.
Oh.
Yeah, it would be haser.
Oh.
If it was a request. What is his mood here in this sentence? What is he trying to do here? So, Da'at Mikra sees it as sarcasm. And here I refer you to what I put on the sheets, and I'm going to try to pull... Yeah. Well, arrogance is... He's not a stranger to arrogance, that's for sure.
Yeah, but he's saying, you know, there's nothing wrong with I'm right, and too bad for you. It's quite arrogant.
It's par for the course in the book. They did the same thing. It is. I mean, there's definitely accusation here. Listen to what Da'at Mikra says. He says, "Derech hanishba'im be'lokim lefaresh b'shvuasam mida achas mimidosav." He says, when people swear by God, that's all right. I've got it on here. Thanks. When people swear by God, it is their way to explain within the oath, mention within the oath, one of the divine traits. O ma'asecha mimasav, or one of the divine deeds. Right? You say, Chai Hashem asher ha'alanu me'eretz Mitzrayim, by the life of God who took us up out of Egypt. Or Chai Hashem elokei tzuri, by the life of God who is my tzur, who is my rock. So he, on the other hand, says, by the life of God, right, who warped my judgment. But that's not what's normally done. He continues, that Mikra continues to say, normally you mention a trait that causes you to thank God. He is doing the opposite with it. It's sarcastic. It's sarcastic. That's the way that he takes it. However, the Talmud Yerushalmi takes it differently. And we see a reflection of this in the Babylonian Talmud as well. They point to this verse and say, it's source number 2 on your sheets, Tani b'shem Rabbi Yehuda, was Tana the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Chai kel esir mishpati v'shakai heimar nafshi, she'ein adam noder b'chayav shamelach ela imkein ohavo. One does not swear by the life of the king unless he loves the king. Rashi brings it, although Rashi blends it. Rashi tells you it's Yerushalmi, but he says it's Rabbi Yehoshua, which is actually the Bavli that we're about to see. That's why I didn't quote Rashi here, because he's blending sources. But the Yerushalmi is saying, Job is serious. He loves God, even as he declares God to be his brutal torturer. It's a very strong statement that the Yerushalmi is making, but the Babylonian also has a theme like it. It just doesn't quote our verse, and it's source number 3 on your sheet. It's talking about the day when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah took over in the Beit Midrash, and there are a list of lessons that were taught that day, and this is one of them. Bo Bayom, on that very day, it's actually a Mishnah from Sota, Darash Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hurkanus, Rabbi Yehoshua son of Hurkanus, taught the following. Lo Avad Iyob es HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elamei Ahava, in the beginning of the book, for those who remember back, and it's a ways, but in the beginning of the book, we asked a question. Job is described as Yirei Elokim, which means God-fearing, God-revering, perhaps. But does he serve God out of love? Or is it just, I'm afraid of getting zapped, and therefore I'll do what I think God wants me to do? So the Talmud says, no, he worships God out of love. Absolutely. How do you know? Shenamar, because we had a different pasuk we saw. We saw this verse back in chapter 13. He said, Hey Niktaleni, Lo Ayachel, right? We spent a lot of time trying to understand that verse. It's one of the most important verses in the book. Hey Niktaleni, even as God kills me, Lo Ayachel. And the question was, the verse is written, Lo Lamed Aleph, which means I will not hope for him. But it's supposed to be read as Lo with a Vav. I will hope for him. And then the question is it a sentence or is it a question? How are you supposed to read the sentence? So the Talmud here says, I don't know. It says, Adayin Adavar Shakul. It's not clear. Are you supposed to read that sentence as, God kills me and for him I hope? Or God kills me and therefore I don't hope? So it concludes by saying, aha, but we have a verse right here. We're going to see it. It's sentence 5, in which Job is going to say, Ad egva, till I expire, lo asir tumati mimeni, I will never remove my completeness, my perfection, my purity from me, meaning that he acted out of love. He retains his love for God to the end. That's the way that the Talmud reads it. It reads Job as somebody who is paradoxically angry at God and loyal to God simultaneously. That's the way that it's. That's the way that the Talmud reads Job, and you see it here. He swears by God even as he swears at God. That's really what he's doing, right? Chai Kael, by the life of God, hey Sir Mishpati, who has treated me as unjustly as possible. He's got both, and now let's just read the rest of this section here. He says, Pasuk Dalet, sentence 4, Im tidaberna svasai avla, if my lips will speak corruption, and the corruption he means is what these other people, these visitors, are saying. He says what they're saying is corrupt, it's untrue, it's false. I will never say what they say. Ulushonim yehageri miyah, he is swearing. This is his oath. He is swearing that he is not, his tongue will not speak falsehood. He says, it will be a desecration for me to declare you to be right about God. Till I go, he says, till I expire. Lo asir tumasimi meni, I am not going to leave my tamimut. Remember, he was ishtam, this complete person. He says, I am never going to do it. Bitzidkasi hechezakti velo arpeha. I have held on to my righteousness, and I will not let it go. And the Mitzudat David says on this, and I brought it on your sheet, not only is he saying, I was righteous, like from time to time, but I held on to it. This was my identity. I was consistently righteous, Job insists. Lo yecharaf levavi miyamai. That's a hard phrase to translate. I will take it as Rashi and Ibn Ezra do. I will not be shamed for anything I have ever done. I am consistent, and Job is nothing if not consistent, despite that one odd section that we're still having trouble with, where he does seem to be adopting the other point of view. But generally speaking, Job has been consistent throughout, and he says, I will continue to be consistent with what I am saying. It would be wicked for me to adopt your point of view. Your point of view is wrong. It's false about God. And I will not adopt it. I'm going to remain with that which I have said all along. Rita?
So is Job saying he does this because he loves God? Is he not being righteous just to get points, brownie points with God? He's saying he has this relationship with God.
Yes.
He loves God, and that's why he's
good. That's why he was righteous all along. Yeah. That's not why he is litigating. He's litigating because he's miserable. That he's made clear. But yes, everything that he has done, he says, is out of love for God.
Love for God.
Yep.
Yeah. Is he the only one who says anything like Tzidkati? Like, he's the one who's talking about his own stuff.
Well, the others have used the same term, but as a negative, to say human beings can never beat Tzaddik.
No, but outside of Job, is there anybody else who talks defending their
I have to go back and look. I don't know. It's an interesting question. I want to say yes, that some of them have talked about it. Shana, where did they?
Are you asking in the context of Eo or overall in the Tanakh?
Overall in Tanakh, we do have. Hang on. King David does, when he calls out to God.
Abimelech does.
Right, Abimelech does. There's a good example for us. King Abimelech says that he was righteous. Yeah, no, we do have in general in Tanakh. I was thinking in terms of the visitors, and I think even some of the visitors have said that they were, but I can't quote you chapter and verse right now. Yeah, it's an interesting question. The Jews are warned not to say it. Moshe turns to the Jews and say, don't think that you get this land because you are righteous. That's not why you're coming into this land. God is bringing you in because he wants to evict the Canaanites. So there's a negative of it. It's an interesting question. I have to really look into it. So I wish you all a great break. Don't forget anything we said. And we resume in the beginning of January, God willing.